I think it is very special. We bring you the news as it actually happens. We're one of the places that you can come for the facts, and they're backed up by what's actually happening out there.
You know, a lot of websites, they deal in rumor and innuendo. You guys are really dealing in journalism, is that right?
Oh, absolutely. And there's no question that we're going to bring you pro-American news. I mean, we're going to bring you stuff that makes you proud of the freedoms that we have. And we back up the Constitution every step of the way, but that doesn't influence our reporting. Our reporting is the truth, is 100% accurate.
Make sure you check it out. One of the best websites in the world, westernjournalism.com. That's westernjournalism.com.
Texas authorities say they found an explosive device under a bridge near the rural community of Rosebud. A local TV station in Waco says the McLennan County Sheriff's Office and a bomb squad used a water cannon to disable the device last night. The sheriff there saying the homemade bomb had shotgun shells and flammable liquid inside of a container would have been deadly had it gone off. Soon, America's front yard will look much greener than ever before. We get details from Nick Bove.
Work on the final phase of resodding the National Mall began yesterday in Washington. Crews started to lay down rolls of grass over the rejuvenated soil from the midway point of the mall towards the base of the Washington Monument. It'll take workers 5 more weeks to finish placing the 522,000 square feet of grass. It'll match the fresh sod sitting towards the base of the U.S. Capitol since 2012. Officials hope to have the mall fully open by the start of the summer, just in time for 1 million 4th of July visitors. In Washington, I'm Nick Bove.
And I'm John DeMaster for USA Radio News. Get breaking news at usaradio.com.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, they don't make apologies for who they are or what they say. And if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
President Obama heads to Flint, Michigan today to get a close-up perspective on the toxic water crisis there. The president getting a briefing on efforts to deal with the crisis. He'll also hear directly from some residents in a roundtable discussion. The resident will then deliver remarks at a high school in Flint. An American soldier has been killed in Iraq, USA Radio's Jason Wirt reports.
An American soldier is dead after a rocket-propelled grenade attack by the Islamic terrorist group ISIS in Iraq. Lisa Deftari of the Foreign Desk told USA Radio News about the soldier.
This particular Navy SEAL was a part of American Special Forces that came to help out and assist in helping the Peshmerga.
The White House refused to call it a combat death, saying the death happened during support operations. I'm Jason Wirt.
Many parents think their teenagers are addicted to their smartphones, and their children often agree with them. Jack Nakos is a partner in tech firm Calibrate, and he says that he knows how quickly people can get addicted to their cell phones.
When I get home from work, my wife, she likes to make me take the phone to, you know, our bedroom for at least an hour so I can unplug, hang with my son and her as well.
It's a situation that a poll by CommonSenseMedia.com finds increasingly common. A survey of 1,200 parents and children finding 59% of parents think their teens are addicted to their phones, an opinion shared by 50% of the teens that were polled. This is USA Radio News, powered by USARadio.com.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormones.
hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
The weather for a beautiful Hunterdon County. It is currently 52 degrees with showers expected this afternoon, mainly after 2 p.m. And then tonight, showers likely with a patch of patchy drizzle before 8 p.m. with a 50% chance of new precipitation. And Thursday, patchy drizzle with a chance of showers before 9 a.m. I think we're getting April showers now in May. Thursday night, a chance of showers. Friday, showers likely after 8 a.m. with a high near 59. And then Saturday, a chance of showers after 9 a.m. However, it will become partly sunny with a high near 67. The chance of precipitation on Saturday is 30%. Sunday, a chance of showers before 3, otherwise partly sunny with a high near 68. It is currently 12:09.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for today's program. I'm also a licensed professional counselor. And May is National Mental Health Awareness Month, and even more specifically, the first week in May is National Mental Health Awareness Week. I believe having awareness of mental health is incredibly important. And it is the focus of Counselor's Chat about having good mental health. I am a licensed professional counselor, LPC. That means I must have my master's degree. I also needed to pass a national examination by the National Counseling Examination Board. So I am a nationally certified counselor, which then gives me the ability to get my license to practice here in New Jersey, which then makes me the licensed professional counselor. Other states have licensed professional counselors or licensed mental health counselors. It's basically the same license. And I think it's really important, and it's one of the reasons that I do this program, is to promote mental health and also to educate people in terms of what licensed professional counselors do and who we are. We do many, many things. We have private practices. That's something that I do. As a licensed professional counselor, I have the ability to diagnose and treat people with mental health issues. People who are licensed professional counselors work in the field of drug and alcohol recovery. They work in the field of schools, school counseling, rehabilitation counseling. They work with elderly. They work in the VA system, hospitals. You name it, licensed professional counselors, career counselors, we're all over and we do many things. Licensed professional counselors can focus on things such as drug and alcohol counseling, which is one of the things that I do. We can also focus on marriage counseling. We can also focus on music therapy, art therapy, dance and movement therapy. So we offer a very broad spectrum of counseling services as licensed professional counselors. The other thing that is important to know about licensed professional counselors is that we needed to, in our master's program, we needed to study 9 core topics. We needed to study law and ethics. So being a licensed professional counselor means that we have to have a high standard of ethics in our practice, be it in a clinic or in private practice, it doesn't matter. We needed to study things like career counseling, marriage and family counseling, group counseling, drug and alcohol counseling. We needed to study different theories in counseling. So when I say different theories, counseling offers a broader spectrum of different things. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, even though this is not quite my topic for the day, but I will move into that. We needed to study assessment. Well, that means giving tests and being able to assess tests. We needed to study statistics, and we needed to study culture. So how different cultures, what they bring into the mix of counseling. So those are the nine topics that someone who studies counseling, gets their master's in counseling, those are the nine main core issues that we look at. In terms of counseling theory, well, theory is just that. It's a theory. There's no solid proof other than things that we might do statistically that can show or demonstrate that any particular theory works. And so we study different theorists, starting with Freud. Studied Freud. I studied Adler. Studied Fritz Perls. I studied Carl Rogers. back so many of the different Albert Ellis, so many of the different theorists. And what that did for me is it provided me with a wealth of counseling material. I am pretty eclectic in my practice. And I will say that my focus does tend to be cognitive behavioral, which is both Beck and Adler related. But that's part of what I choose to do. But I bring quite a bit of the other things that I've learned into the mix. With that being said, and as I said, one of the things that I needed to do is I needed to study family counseling, studying things like Freud and Erickson also gives me the opportunity to look at development. It kind of leads me to my topic for today, and that is parenting and mental health. We have as a responsibility towards our children. We have a responsibility to provide our children with good, healthy, useful coping skills. Now, one of the things that happens for me as a counselor in my practice is the majority of times the people that I work with have never had the ability to develop good coping skills. Now, what is a coping skill? It is the way we handle our emotional life. It's the way we handle our emotional life. One of the words that is becoming much more predominantly used in our field is regulation. How am I regulating my emotions? I like that word, actually. How am I regulating my anger, my grief, my frustrations, my fear and anxiety? How am I regulating it? How am I controlling it? How am I handling it? Now, oftentimes I hear parents say, I don't want my children to ever feel ... I don't want my children to ever feel disappointed. That's a big one. I don't want my children to ever feel angry. I don't want my children to ever feel sad. The downside to that philosophy of child rearing is we are not providing our children with the tools, the coping skills of how to regulate emotion. We are also not teaching our children about healthy self-esteem. The key here is self-esteem, not other esteem. Now, it is true that the language that we speak is the language that we teach our children. So, what do I mean by that? Well, if I'm giving Junior a lot of attaboys, he's going to learn that. If he also hears me being self-critical, he's going to learn that also. If he hears me call myself stupid, I don't realize he's standing right there. He's at my elbow. He's hearing me yelling at myself, being self-critical. He's going to learn that. Or my daughter, being self-critical, calling myself ugly and fat, or whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm saying, I don't necessarily recognize that my language, okay, I'm teaching my children my language. Or the way maybe I'm criticizing someone on television or someone on Facebook or making fun of them, or my children are learning a language like a sponge, soaking it up. Not only are they learning the language in terms of the words we use, they watch intently our facial expressions. Intently they watch. So I might say something, but my facial expression may say something else. They watch and they learn and they listen. The downside is many parents want to be friends with their children. And I'm not talking about adolescents. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about age 11 down, our younger children. We so want them to have good self-esteem. So we think anything negative is negative. I have heard it said that we're working on saying you can't say no to a child or naughty to a child. You can't use the word discipline. See, political correctness is now creeping in to the way we parent. Because somehow we think that these words are going to create low self-esteem. We're not offering coping skills. We're making words politically incorrect. We are eliminating teaching regulation. Well, regulation comes into practice with the word of discipline. I am being disciplined. I am self-disciplining. I am regulating myself. We do more harm and damage to our children. We see so many of us, and I'm going to say not just me as a therapist, but our society in whole, we say, my gosh, everybody's becoming so narcissistic. Well, narcissism is a very interesting thing because it's a twisted form of self-love. It's a twisted form of self-love. It excludes others. It eliminates things like empathy. Because ultimately, it's all about me. This is not what we want to do to our children. And this is not the legacy we want to give our children. This is not balance. This is a mental health issue. When we do that, our children don't become narcissistic because they're born with narcissism. Our children become narcissistic because we raise them to be narcissists. We raise them to be narcissists. I can't imagine that in the reality of things, that your goal as a parent is to say, I want to raise my child to have mental health issues. It's inconceivable. If that is your goal, you should not be a parent. Discipline is an important aspect and a healthy aspect of child rearing. And when I say discipline, I mean structure. I don't mean a beating. I mean structure. One of the most important things for children is setting up limits and boundaries. Well, let's think about that. Limits and boundaries. What is that exactly? If I think of a yard, my backyard, I'm going to put up a fence. Put a fence around the perimeter of my property. That shows the boundary. That's the boundary line. If my neighbor comes over the fence without my permission, they have crossed my boundary. If I have gone over the fence into their property, I have crossed over my limit. Therefore, it means that my property has boundaries and limits, and it is my job to stay mostly within, and that's the discipline, to stay within those boundaries, to know my limits, to learn how to deal with life in that area. And then on top of it, to learn, oh my gosh, manners. What a concept. So that if I choose to go or would like to go over my limit, I ask permission. I say to my neighbor, is it right if I come over on your yard? I want to talk to you about something. I ask permission. Is it okay if I cross the boundary? Because sometimes that boundary is your boundary also. When I hear things like, we don't want to use the word no, N-O, with children. We are doing so much damage to them because the word no is going to happen throughout their life. How in the world do we expect our children to learn how to deal with and self-regulate when someone tells them no? No, you didn't get the job. No, you didn't get into the school. No, I don't want to go on a date with you. No, I don't think I'm going to marry you. No, you can't have that project. Life is filled with no. No, you can't have that. You can't just go in the store and take whatever you want. No, you have to buy it. Learning limits and boundaries is about learning how to understand and deal with the word no, N-O. Here's the other thing. It ends up where not only do we start raising narcissistic children, we also raise highly codependent children. It's a very interesting mix. Very interesting mix. So I'm actually going to take a little bit of a commercial break. I'm going to come back and talk a little bit about this in a few minutes. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor and the host of Counselor's Chat.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Heide & Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Heide & Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamirroll, your host for today's program. And I also want to welcome you to May as Mental Health Awareness Month. So one of the main goals for my program is to promote good mental health. And in that process, talk a little bit about licensed professional counselors and also to promote mental health. So today, one of the things that I am talking about is teaching our children good coping skills so that they have good mental health. As I was saying earlier, a lot of times I hear people say, I don't want my children to feel disappointed or angry or sad or afraid. So instead of teaching them coping skills, they do everything they can to prevent their children from having feelings. And one of the things that I hear and I notice that it is also becoming politically incorrect to use some words when talking to children because we are afraid that they cannot handle them. And then it would affect their self-esteem. So that rather than teaching them good coping skills, we eliminate words from our vocabulary, such as no or naughty or discipline, just to use a few words. So teaching our children how to have good self-esteem, one of the things is that we have to ask them, how do you feel about the way you just behaved? Are you okay with that? You just had a temper tantrum. I said, no, you can't do such and thus. You had a temper tantrum. Is that okay? Is that what you want to do? It's better to ask them. What do you think? How do you see yourself when you do that? Ask them. Rather than say, I'm not going to say the word no because I don't want them to have a temper tantrum, it actually is better to question them after the temper tantrum is over. So, don't give in to it. That's reinforcing the behavior. Okay, so you just laid on the floor and kicked and screamed. What do you think of that? When you think of that, what do you think of that? How do you think of that behavior that you just did? Is that something that you want to do? Is that how you want to look? Ask them. Oh, yes, I'm okay with it. You are? Okay. All right, well, next time you have a temper tantrum, let's think about it. Let's think about how that looks. It's helping them think about how they're going to handle their feelings. So, all right. So, the game. How do you think you did? How do you feel about it? What do you notice? Where would you like to improve? Where did you do a good job? Instead of saying, oh, you did a great job and here's a trophy just because you showed up. No. That's because I don't want you to feel bad. See, this is highly, highly codependent. when we don't want people to feel feelings. I want to take care of your feelings for you. It is highly codependent. It is highly destructive. I want to teach my children how to cope with their feelings. I want them to learn how to cope with negative feelings or uncomfortable feelings. What do we do when we're afraid? What do we do when we're angry? Oh, do we all lay on, is that what we do? We all lay on the floor and kick our feet when we're angry? Is that what we do? We throw things? Is that what you see other people do? Is that what you want to do? Or do you want to do something different? I'm not against, obviously not against giving choice. The thing is that you want to teach them how to handle these feelings. And you want them to think about self-improvement. How did you feel about doing this? Let's look at your artwork. Now, I might say, oh, I really like it. Do you like it? Just because I like it. Little Junior just drew a picture, and I say, oh, I really like that. That's really nice. You did a great job. If I leave it at that, I am teaching that other esteem is important. The question is how do you think? Do you think you did a good job? What do you like about it? I want to know what you like about it. You don't have anything positive to say about it? You don't? Oh my goodness, there must be something positive. Let's think about it. Did you enjoy the process? Did you enjoy drawing it? Okay. So it's asking those kinds of questions. If I just give a lot of attaboys, you did a good job. You're a great kid. You're wonderful. I'm not teaching you self-esteem. I'm giving you other esteem. And what ends up happening is that the only way that I am going to, or what I'm training my children to do, is to depend on other people, to hear good things from them, to feed their esteem, and they become narcissistic because now it's all about me. It's all about the good things you say to me. It's all about the positive thing. I can't handle if you have something negative or some kind of criticism, or even if it's a healthy critique. I can't handle it. Now I'm looking narcissistic. Parents, it's not your job to be a friend. You can be friendly. I can be a friendly parent. It's not my job as a therapist to be my client's friend. I am a friendly therapist, but I am not their friend. I am their therapist. I am their counselor. I have a role to play in helping people heal, in providing them with coping skills so they have the ability to regulate their emotion in their lives, so that they become healthier, so they learn how to build their self-esteem. I can sit and say to a client until the sun comes home, oh, you're pretty, you're wonderful, you're great. If they don't believe it, what good does it make? None. And the only way I could feel good about myself was as other people have to tell me those good things. Therefore, I crave it all the time, because when I am by myself, my self-esteem is non-existent. I don't know what to say to myself about myself. And I'm empty. So parents, provide your children with questions. Ask them, how do you see this? Tell me something that you like about yourself. Not just what I say. What do you see? It's like looking in the mirror. I could say to somebody, you're pretty. You're pretty. You're handsome. If you don't think that, doesn't matter what I say. I can give you trophies from here to who knows when. If you think you've done a lousy job in the game, the trophy means nothing. So, how come you just came home from the game and threw your trophy in the trash? Because I didn't do a good job. Children are not stupid. However, at the same time, the more we as authorities in their life, and I'm going to use that word authorities, we are their teachers, we are their example. We are their coaches and their cheerleaders, absolutely. And we are their support system. It is our job to allow them to feel their feelings, all their feelings, and teach them coping skills. No, it's not okay when you're angry to punch the wall or to throw your toys. Let's talk about some other ways to be angry. Let's talk about using words, being assertive, saying, I feel angry. I feel angry when. I feel angry when you don't let me go out and play. I feel angry when you take away my iPad. I feel angry when you tell me I have to go sit in the chair over there that's designated the timeout chair. Okay, that's good. I'm glad you're telling me that's the response. I'm glad you're telling me that you're angry. I appreciate it. Yes, and I acknowledge it. Yes, you are angry. You are. And you know what? You need to still sit there. And because you're angry, I'm glad you're telling me you're not going to get your iPad back or your gadgets. And it's okay to be angry about it. Because one of the things that have happened here is you have gone over your limit. You've crossed boundaries. We need to start learning how to do that. This is, here's the reality. The human animal is just that. And we have a goal, and that is to socialize. My job as a parent is to socialize my children so they become healthy, emotionally and physically productive adults. The goal. Am I going to be perfect at it? No, absolutely not. Expectations on our children. Well, an expectation is a good thing. In some ways, we're setting the bar. Now, if I expect that my children are going to always get an A all the time on everything they do, or an A++++, I need to look at my level of expectation. Am I looking at expectation? Am I looking for expectation? Am I looking for perfection or excellence? I would like my children to strive for excellence, not perfection. I want my children to learn how to say, I did a good job at that. I like this. And I also can critique myself in a healthy way so that I can look for places for more growth. Where can I improve in this? Ask your children. Okay, you did it, tell me, what do you think about the job that you did? What do you think about this drawing? What do you think about your test? What do you think about the recital? What do you think about how you did on the sports field? Where Where do you think there are ways that you can see for you to improve? How did you handle it when someone else took the ball and ran with it? What was your response to that? Did you have a temper tantrum on the field? Teaching our children how to not bully. You see, one of the problems is when we are not teaching our children how to self-regulate, we actually help them become bullies. So I actually need to take another break, another short commercial break, and I am Ruth Altamura Roll, host for Counselor's Chat. I will be back in just a moment.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325. You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program, and I am talking about parenting, some political correctness, and how to teach your children how to regulate their feelings and build self-esteem. One of the things that we are doing things like eliminating words like mother and father or mom and dad. We're going to parent one and parent two, which has its own problem. I had a couple who were working on using parent one and parent two. Well, see, the problem was the parent two felt unequal to, felt lesser than parent one. You see, the problem is with political correctness is we're working really hard to prevent people from having negative feelings. That's codependency. We do it with adult-to-adult relationships, and we do it with adult-to-children relationships. What I want to do is I want to control how you feel. I want to control how you feel. Do you hear how insane that is? I want to control how you feel. I am not able to control how you feel. It's just like saying I want to control how you think. I am not the think police, and I am not the feeling police. Our job, my job, as a therapist, is to provide people with the skills to learn how to control their own feelings, how to handle their own emotions, how to regulate their own anger, their own anxiety, their own distress. Tell your children no. tell them no. No, you cannot have that. No, you cannot do that. Let them be disappointed. Let them have a temper tantrum and teach them how to handle their anger appropriately. Demonstrate it. Model it. So, Dad, don't punch the wall. Mom, don't have a screaming fit. You might feel like it. Regulate yourself. You know what? Mommy needs to go put herself in the timeout chair right now because Mommy's feeling really angry. Hi, I'm Parent One. And I'm feeling, I only feel happy. That is insane. What it does is it causes stress, enormous stress. Enormous stress because we are not allowing ourselves to feel our feelings. We are not teaching our children how to feel their feelings, giving them the tools on how to handle and master their emotional lives. I can't say enough about it. When I hear that there are programs in our schools that refuse to use words because we don't want to upset the children, and that we have parents that back that up. We can't use words. That it goes all the way to colleges where we have to have a safe place to say a particular word. There's no such thing as a bad word. It's the attitude that we place that word, that we place upon that word. Do you know that's the emotional connection that we have on the word? Well, you're an apple. Well, you're a peach. Well, yeah, you're a banana. Do you hear that? Like, they're words. It's the emotional stuff behind the words. So why don't we teach our children how to handle their emotional lives? Our brain is so powerful. Our brain's job is to help regulate, actually, many, many things so that the systems of our body work in a healthy manner. You know, the kind of damage, we know this, the kind of damage done to children when they are born left-handed, and we say, or used to say, oh no, you cannot write with your left hand, you cannot bat with your left hand, you cannot lead with your left hand, you must use your right hand. We actually do damage. We do damage. We're forcing them. Okay, we're forcing their brain to do something that is not healthy or normal for them. Can they learn it? Yes. But it does damage. Instead, let's teach how to write, teach our children how to, if they're left-handed, how to write with their left hand. It makes life easier. Give them the coping skills. Give them the tools. I can buy a guitar that's made for a right-handed person. Most of them are. I can buy a guitar that's made for a left-handed person because it's healthier. If I'm left-handed, to play the guitar with my left hand. We teach that kind of skill. We recognize now that that's important. It's the same thing with giving our children the tools they need to deal with their feelings. The feelings don't go away. My clients say, well, I'm trying not to be angry over this situation. Okay. You're trying not to be something that you really are, which is angry. That's not a coping tool. That's a denial. I'm trying not to be angry. I'm trying to repress it. I'm trying to ignore it. I'm trying to make it go away. I don't want to say that I'm angry. It's not nice to be angry. Really? It's not nice to punch somebody in the nose when you're angry. There's nothing wrong with being angry. Those are usually, well, I'm trying not to be afraid of this. Well, that tells me you are afraid. Why don't we just say, okay, so you're afraid, or you're angry, or you're distressed, or you're disappointed. I'm really trying not to be disappointed. I didn't get the job. All right, you're disappointed. Okay, what are we going to do with this feeling? See, that happens so frequently in my practice. Why? Because people have not been taught how to handle feelings. So what? We're disappointed. So what? What are we going to do about it? Punching someone in the nose? No, that's not going to work. That's not the ability to regulate our emotions. I might need to say, you know what? I'm really disappointed in this. I'm distressed. I'm sad. I'm frustrated. I just need you to hear me say that. I'm not even asking for things to change. I just need to let you know that that's how I feel. You see, if we don't learn how to do these things early on, we then don't know how to cope, and we go to extremes. For some people, it might actually lead to drug and alcohol addiction or other types of addictions to cover up our feelings, because I can't feel, I don't want to feel. I don't know how to feel. I watch people repress their feelings all the time, and they still come out because that's part of who we are as human beings. We are emotional at our core. So, hopefully this was helpful. I do want to stress again that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. It is something that the American Counseling Association and the American Mental Health Counseling Association promote. I'm a member of those associations, the New Jersey Counseling Association, the New Jersey Mental Health Counseling Association. All of us who are licensed professional counselors are here to promote good mental health. Mental health is key in promoting good physical health. If I think healthy, if I have good coping skills, I make healthier choices in my life. So, yes, I am a licensed professional counselor. I hold my master's in counseling. I specialized in addiction counseling. I have been in the field of counseling for over 30 years. I started working in a youth shelter. I worked at, it's called the Good News Home for Women here in Flemington, which is a long-term rehab for women. I worked at Crawford House, which is a halfway house for women. I was their program director, eventually their executive director. And I have also been on several different boards. Long time ago, I was on the board of Anderson House, which is a halfway house for women. I was on the board of an Off Foundation. Some of you know an Off Foundation. And you can go on their website, see what they're about. And I have been in private practice now for almost 17 years. So I have a strong background in the field. I've worked with many people, and there isn't much that surprises me at this stage of the game for me. If you are interested in seeking out some counseling, and think about, you know, things that I talked about today, just in terms of learning coping skills and dealing with feelings, you can find me on the web at www.altarolecounselor.net or altarolecounselor.com. The altarole.net is a newer website, and that's altarole, two L's, counselor, O-R, .net. You can also find me on Counselor's Chat at Facebook. You can follow me on LinkedIn under Ruth Altamura Roll, MANCCLPC. That's my master's, my national certification, and my license. Or you can call me at 908-581-2277. That's 908-581-2277. I do not keep a waiting list, to the best of my ability. If you have any comments or suggestions about my show, please, by all means, leave a message. If you have a topic, please leave a message or send something, write to me on Facebook, Counselors Chat. I would love to hear from you. So I hope this was a useful program, and I do want to continue to promote good mental health. That is sort of my goal and mission for Counselors Chat. And I am Ruth Altamura Roll, licensed professional counselor and your host. And remember,